Hey everybody, how you doing? This is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and I want to talk about IWCE, and I'm just going to have an IWCE flashback on tower safety and compliance. And I got home from Vegas on like Friday morning at 12:30 a.m. Yeah, well, I actually didn't get home then. That's when my flight landed. Got home around 2. So I want to talk about my conference because it's all about me. But what I wanted to talk about was what we talked about on tower safety and compliance, because I gave my presentation on the tower climber's job, safety, and the point I was trying to get across to the people out there is that if they're going to put RFPs out, they need to put the requirements in for requesting the climber's certifications. It's going to be a lot more work, especially if they hire a contractor, but it's something that they should have. They should give their certifications before they do the job of all the climbers out there. The other thing I think that most RFPs, most RFPs don't address safety. They have some standard safety clause like do this as safe as possible. So what I was trying to do is get the point across that the customer can play their part. They can not only require the certifications, but the safety plan. Hey, if you're in this business and you don't have a written safety plan, we got issues here. You should have a written safety plan by now if you're in business. You just should. So anyways, we had a session where we all gave our talks, and Sharp Smith of AGL Magazine was there, and he's the one that actually moderated the session. He kept us all under control and tried to keep us within our time limits. I think I sort of blew that. And one of the reasons when you're at these sessions, people ask questions, and sometimes you make them wait till the end, but I'm going to be honest with you. If someone puts their hand up or says, hey, I got something, usually you just want to interact right away because it's very relevant to whatever slide you're on. You know, we all have PowerPoint presentations. So with that said, that's something that that we have out there. So anyways, I was like fourth, I think. There were five of us. First one was Corey Crenshaw, and she gave a of Crenshaw Communications Consulting. Yeah, she owns a business where she consults for people that say do my understanding is that do the tower workout. She does compliance and environmental issues and things like that. And she was trying to set a realistic guideline for when you want to construct a tower, because you don't just go and do it or do the licensing, you know, things like that. When you're constructing a tower or doing an install, you know, you have to deal with the FAA, you have to deal with the FCC, and things usually aren't quick. And wherever you're going to construct, there could be issues. She went through a whole bunch of them, right? Historic issues, like if you're in a historic land site, you could have issues there and you might not even know about it. It could be a burial ground, or could be a wild animal reserve that you're not aware of. And it's better to be safe than sorry. Especially if you think you're going to just go ahead and apply for the license and the tower at the same time, you might just want to wait and see if you can actually build the tower at that location. I mean, it's just something to think about. So with all that said, it was a good talk. It was a good talk. I have her information in there if you want to click on there. Hey, by the way, I'd still like to thank my sponsor, Tower Safety, at towersafety.com. And I have a video of hers where they actually show you how to inspect your safety harness. And I have it at the end of the blog. So if you want to get on the blog, wadeforwireless.com, just scroll down, all the way down, and you'll see it there. And you also see for the Hubble Foundation. You guys can click on the Hubble Foundation, get some information about them, click on the video, watch a video of I think it's Kathy, and I forget the guy's name. I'm embarrassed here. Hold on a second. Okay, it's Javier. Kathy and Javier tell us how to inspect the harness properly. Really, Javier tells us. Kathy just introduces Javier and then puts on the harness and goes through everything you should look at. All right, back to tower compliance and safety that I learned at IWCE. The next talk was from Charles Ryan. His business is Concepts to Operations, which is really cool. They take your concept and they can actually get it to the patent point and to the point where they it's distributed. Sort of a really cool company. He's a neat guy to talk to. Corey was very interesting too. You know, everyone on the panel was very interesting. I don't want to take anything away, but I just sort of dug what he was doing. And he talked about like the NIMBY issues, and the headline of his was T-Mobile versus Roswell, Georgia. And I think with these zoning issues now, the carriers are going to be able to, you know, get more done. And that's what he was going over, about what we can get done and what we may not be able to get done. As far as adding stuff to the tower and the zoning regulations. Now, you still have to go through the zoning process, but they can't just turn you down for no good reason. And that's what T-Mobile went to court about. And T-Mobile won, by the way. They had to take it up. You know, they lost it in the local court and they had to go up to the federal court. And you know what? Be better. I had it open. I was reading about it this morning, but it was just interesting how now things should, you would think they'd move ahead, you know, at a faster rate, but we'll see. Because that's one thing these counties and towns learned is when you go to federal court, it's very expensive. You have to be very organized. And I don't know if you've ever been to some of these zoning meetings. One thing that I found out, you know, many of them are anything but organized. Jeez almighty. And one thing they like to do is they put you off again and again and again. Well, I think that's trying to change because the FCC is trying to set a reasonable time limit for these people to make a decision. And that was what he talked about. It was very interesting because the Telecommunications Act of 1996 changed a lot of that. And the FCC is able to help communications companies get things through because broadband's taking so long to roll out. And when things take a long time to roll out, no one looks at the zoning commission, right? I mean, you do if you're in the communications industry, you have an idea of what's going on. But all people do is sit around and complain about the carrier or the public safety because public safety can't get coverage somewhere. You know, it's really a much bigger issue than just carrier. So, and the next up, Dr. Dennis Boulay out of Australia was basically talking about the RF compliance and hazards out there. And one of the things that he brought up was like he compared Australian standards to U.S. standards. And U.S. standards weren't quite as good as Australian standards. At least that was the impression I got. Not that it matters, I guess. It does. But he also went through a lot of the problems you see, what RF problems can cause. Like he went through like cataracts and things like that. The health issues, what frequencies are bad for you. So I have his information in there if you're interested, as I do everybody I talk about, right? I got their websites or an email in there so you can at least look at what they're doing. So he was actually very interesting. He had a lot of cool pictures. So the next one was Robert Johnson, who works for NARDA. Now, NARDA, as you know, has the RF meter. The monitors, you know, the RF levels that you're working around. I mean, anyone who's in the business, you should know NARDA. If you don't, you really got to look them up. The website's on there. And he went through, you know, he was saying for a lot of tower workers, they know what to look for when they see the antennas and the transmitters. And most tower workers, I hope, you should have had an RF safety awareness class. So you should know what to look for. You should know not what to stand in front of. You should have a good idea that, you know, that standing in front of an antenna, you know, with the ERP and the power is going to be pretty high. And your NARDA is going to like beep and vibe and let you know what's going on, that there's a problem there. So why am I telling you this? Because you should already know this, but you got to spread the word to other people. And one of the things he brought up was, say, window washers, roofers, air conditioning technicians, because they don't know what's what. All they know is they got to work on something. And the example he had, I remember this. It was actually a cool picture. It was on a rooftop, and the antennas were mounted, you know, 2 foot off the ground. And these were like 6 foot antennas. So when you walk in front of them, like everything from your ankles up are getting radiated. And that was his point. You know, he's just trying to say you got to be very alert to this stuff. Now, the cutoff, I think, anything under 5 watts is not an issue. So anything over 5 watts, you got to look for. But what they did, you know, when they measure this power, he said you could have 100 watts there and you'd never know it. At whatever frequency, you know, whatever the carrier's frequency is there. And while you may know this, working in RF, the air conditioning guy won't. And the picture he showed literally had two antennas on a platform. And like right between the two, there was an air conditioner. Whereas if a guy had to work on it, he'd just, you know, be working there for 4 to 6 hours. Who knows what'll happen? They did have it marked off with those big bright orange, those fluorescent orange buckets all around it. It was just sort of funny. Robert Johnson, he, Everyone on the panel was funny. They brought humor to it. You know, it was really an interesting talk. I had a good time. And if you guys are interested, let me know. I mean, I got all the links in there if you go to wadeforwireless.com. And if you're listening to this, you should have a good idea who I am. Hey, have you found me by accident? Thank you. Again, my sponsor for this was towersafety.com. They actually, Kathy out there at Tower Safety, brought me the belts that I could wear during my talk. So that way I actually got to wear a harness. And she actually brought two. She brought the Petzl and she brought... Oh, what was the other one? Was it Elk River? But I got to wear that one, and I like that one. The Petzl, I don't know, the Petzl one. Petzl one I got, it was pretty cool and everything, but it just took a little while to figure out, but I did figure it out. You know, when I was doing a lot of climbing, you know, I had the Exo Fit, which I like, but apparently they aren't popular anymore. So the other thing, again, I have my products out there. You know, I got the Sal training and I wrote a couple books, you know, Introduction to Tower Climbing, Field Worker's Aid to Tower Site Work. But, and also I created log books. I'm going to do more of this stuff. I'm going to start, I got to get busy. Now that IWC is over, I should have some spare time. I want to start a YouTube channel, but I know I'm going on about me because it's all about me. But I also put in there about the Hubble Foundation. If you can give to Hubble, show a member of the Tower family that you care. In the wireless community, we need to stick together, and Hubble Foundation really needs our support, okay? So if you get a chance, donate to Hubble today, hubblefoundation.org. Bridget Hester, I know her as Jet. I always say Jet, I guess. Her proper name is Dr. Bridget Hester. She's doing a lot of work for tower climbers to help them out and make things better. But the other thing she's doing is... she put together the foundation because her husband died when a tower collapsed years ago. She's remarried now. But, you know, when something like that happens, it changes your life. And that's something that I think a lot of people out there don't understand the risk of this job. This is a job, you work at heights and you could die. When you die, the families are left behind, okay? Obviously. But she's making... She put this foundation together to make it easier for the families to get by, to survive, not only support-wise, but also financially. And I think that's one thing we need to understand. She's doing all that she can to support these families emotionally and financially. Trust me, she is there for these people when they need help. There's another girl that's very active in Hubble, Kathy Pierce, and she lost her son. And I don't know why it takes such a loss for us to realize that we can really make a difference in other people's families. And with Kathy, Kathy Pierce, she realized that her son, and Kathy has really been doing more and more to get involved in this. And it just breaks your heart when you think of what she lost. I mean, it's just, to me, you know, so sad. When you think of what we lose in this industry. So I guess my point is Hubble Foundation is there. Not only they're doing everything they can to financially support these people, which they need the help from all of us to do this, okay? They need our help. And what we're doing when we give to that foundation, we're giving back to another member of the family, another member of the Tower family, another member of the Wireless family, to somebody who's going to make sure that they get it and take care of not only the wives of that family so they can pay bills, but the children of that family so they can go to school. She does a lot. All right. Everyone, be smart, be safe, and pay attention to what you're doing. It's very important. That's something we often forget. I don't know why, but chances are if you're in this business, you know that you have to make a plan, have a plan, follow the plan, but don't be afraid to adapt, improvise, and overcome. All right? All right, you guys. Take care.